family of Kara Heitman Chase would like to express our thanks for the beautiful prayer shawl and all the prayers. Please continue to pray for us. Let us continue to hold the Heitman family in prayer as they grieve the loss of their daughter, sister, and aunt. And then another one to the whole church. The family of Kara Heitman Chase would like to express our thanks for your thoughts and prayers. Gracie and Gavin Ferguson have given $300 to the backpack program because they raise this money through selling tomato plants. And so we want to acknowledge that and thank them publicly for their kind, kind donation to the backpack program. Last Sunday for the installation service, Calvin Carrick had drawn the cover art for the bulletin. And we've gotten so much good feedback about this that we want to invite any other child in the congregation, if you would like any Sunday to draw the bulletin cover art, we would love for you to do that. So please reach out to me and I can give you the details, but we'd like to include more of your art on the bulletin cover. Sherry has an announcement about the scholarship committee raffle. Can't remember the Ty Heitman is continuing to work on his Eagle Scout project. There's Ty in the back. He is doing some renovating cleanup on our outdoor shelter out back. And we're really excited for all that he's got planned. If you would like to donate to help him with his project, please see Ty about that. This morning, we are delighted to welcome Dr. Donald Armitage and his wife, Mary, to Holly Grove. Dr. A is our guest organist this morning. I call him Dr. A because that's how I know him. That's how we all know him and refer to him at Augsburg, which is my home church, where Don was cantor emeritus. Well, he's now cantor emeritus, but you were cantor for how many years there?
18 years.
So we give thanks for your presence and you sharing your gifts with us today. We've got a few birthdays this week. Norris Feeney, Dottie Curry, Paul Conrad, William Curry, Ross Summer, Matthew Parsons and Mandy Fritz. And then anniversaries are Ted and Sherry Proctor and Jim and Jan Watkins. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. Please stand. We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Worthy is Christ. Let us pray. O God, you are the tree of life, offering shelter to all the world. Graft us into yourself and nurture our growth, that we may bear your truth and love to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading today is from the book of Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will make a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit. Under it, every kind of bird will live, in the shade of the branches. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I make low the high tree, I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, I will accomplish it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm today will be read responsively. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord.
Sing praise to your name, O Most High.
To herald your love in the morning.
And your faithfulness at night.
On the psaltery and on the lyre.
And in the melody of the harp.
For you have made me glad by your acts, O Lord. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree,
and shall spread abroad
those who are planted in the house of the Lord. They shall bear fruit in old age.
They shall be green and succulent.
That they may show how upright the Lord is.
My rod, in whom there is no injustice.
The second reading today comes from the second book of Corinthians. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. For the love of Christ urges us on. Because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. This is baby Kate's very first children's sermon. Hi, Cameron. Well, I've got a couple things to talk about this morning. First, I want to show you what a mustard seed looks like. Is it fair to say that when we think of mustard, we think of the condiment that we put on hot dogs or hamburgers? That's usually what I think about when I think of mustard. But in today's gospel lesson, Jesus is talking about mustard seeds. So I thought I would pass these around and show you what they look like, because they're really small. In fact, if I were to take them out of that jar and if I were to take them out of the jar and give you each one, and you hold it in your hand, if you were to drop it, it might be kind of hard to find it because it is so very small, especially if you were to drop it outside in the grass or among some of the weeds. And so Jesus is trying to teach his disciples and his listeners about the kingdom of God. And he says it's like a mustard seed. It's something really, really small, but it grows up into something really, really big. Some mustard plants can be as big as houses. They grow very, very big, so much so that there is plenty of room in those plants so that birds can nest and rest in the shade. And that's like the kingdom of God. And I like to talk about the kingdom of God in this way. So often when I think of kingdom, I think of a place that we can find on a map. But the kingdom of God isn't a place we can find on a map. I think of it as the rule of God, or the reign, the R-E-I-G-N, the reign of God, where it crosses space and it crosses time, and it goes into all creation, and it comes into our lives, the lives of God's people. And so the kingdom of God, the reign or rule of God, is like a tiny, tiny mustard seed. But with God's love and with God's grace, it grows up all over the world and in us, and it takes root. And so God can use really, really small things to make really big things and to make a big difference. Have any of you ever felt like you were too small to make a difference, or that something you did was too small to make a difference? Well, God can use even the smallest act of kindness. God can use a smile. God can use the smallest thing to bring love and grace and care into the world. And God can do that through all of us, no matter our age, no matter how small we think we are, no matter if we think we're not good enough, any reason we can come up with that we think is not a good reason for us to do something for God, God says, nope, I can use the smallest of things to make a big difference in the world. Let us pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for your church. And thank you that you take even the smallest of things and make them grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up. You may go back to your seats. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My heart is still so full from the installation service last Sunday. Thank you to all of you who came, who helped to make it such a special service, and the reception after, such a special time of fellowship. It meant so very much to me, and I think that all of those who were here really found it to be a meaningful time. Thank you. As my service of installation was approaching, these last couple weeks, I've been thinking a lot about my call to Holly Grove, and it brought to my mind a lot of the call process. And I wanted to share with you some of the things that really excited me and drew me to Holly Grove. So part of the call process is I have to write a 16-page document to submit to churches who are interested in calling me as their pastor. And churches do something very similar. They complete a 16-page document called a ministry site profile. It's very elaborate. All of this is about Holly Grove and your ministries and your church and your life together. And this was compiled by Sherry Proctor and Karen Beck and Tony Chapman. They worked so very hard on this. And as I was reading your ministry site profile, I got so excited about the backpack program. I got very excited about the teen parent program. When I read your mission statement, my heart felt like it was going to swell and swell as united people of God under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. So many churches are good at inreach. They're good at loving their people and loving one another and taking care of one another. And this is good and important. But the church doesn't exist for the sake of the church. The church exists for the sake of the world, and we are called to go out of these walls and share God's love and grace with all the world. And there is a world that is in desperate need of God's love and grace. And so when I read your mission statement, and when I read about these things that you are doing to share God's love and grace with the world, it excited me about coming to Holly Grove. And I remember Jane in our first meeting saying, you know, we are a small church, but we are a mighty church. And I remember that. And I think that beautifully describes what Jesus is trying to say in today's parable, that God takes small things and makes them grow for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of the world, that the whole world would know God's love and grace. Think about some of the folks in Scripture that we might describe as small or unassuming that God used to do remarkable things in the world. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a very young teenage girl from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? But it is this young girl that God chose to bear his son for the world. Or think of little David, who all of his brothers were so scared of Goliath. They were all much bigger, much stronger than he was. And here's this little runt of a boy. And God uses him to defeat Goliath. We could go all throughout Scripture and find all of these people and groups that God used that were unassuming, and they shouldn't be the heroes of the story, but God used them to help bring about God's plan here on earth. All throughout Scripture, God uses ordinary people, imperfect people, people who don't have it all together, people who don't have it all figured out. Even at Jesus' death and resurrection, the disciples still didn't have a full understanding of what they were experiencing and what was happening. God uses even people who don't have it all figured out to do God's work in the world. The parables today remind us that God doesn't need our works, that God doesn't need our help in bringing about God's kingdom, that these seeds that God plants, they don't need anything we can offer to help them grow. But in baptism, we are called into God's mission, and we are called to participate in the love of God that is transforming the world around us. So Jesus says, what can we say? What can we use to compare to the kingdom of God? What parable shall we use? Our psalm today talks about the cedars of Lebanon. Ezekiel talks about the lofty and mighty cedars. But Jesus doesn't follow suit. He instead switches over to a mustard seed. In the time of Jesus, a mustard seed was a metaphor for the smallest thing. Jesus uses this, and I don't even know how many were in here. If I had had the time, I might have taken them out and had people guess, and whoever guessed the right answer for how many seeds are in this jar could have gotten a prize. But Jesus takes the smallest, the scruffiest little seed, and that's what he compares the kingdom of God to. The mustard plant was a very common bush. Some might even call it a sturdy weed. It could pop up just about anywhere, and it would start multiplying, and once it started multiplying, there was no stopping it. We might compare it to a thistle or ground ivy, but it was much, much bigger and much sturdier. I can just imagine that those who were listening to Jesus might have groaned or even giggled. Why is Jesus talking about a mustard seed and a mustard plant, much less comparing the kingdom of God to it? Perhaps they were thinking that Jesus is missing the mark here, that he should have been talking about a much larger, more stately plant, like a tree, like a cedar tree. A cedar tree would have been more majestic, more magnificent, much more impressive than a mustard seed and a mustard plant. But I think this is also true of the kingdom of God, of God's reign here on earth, that so often it doesn't look like we want it to look, or it doesn't look like we think it should look. It doesn't meet our expectations. And this is often the way that God works in the world. And unfortunately, for those who can't see it, and those who don't want to see it, they cut it and they tear it down because they're not expecting the kingdom of God to appear this way. And so they take those mustard plants and they burn them so that they can craft a much more beautiful landscape, something more pleasing to the eyes, something that meets their expectations. But the truth is, brothers and sisters, that the kingdom of God has never looked like the greatness and power that human nations try to build for themselves. Because the kingdom of God is not about greatness, and it's not about power. Jesus himself laid all of that aside to take on human flesh, to become one of us. He emptied himself of power and greatness. He humbled himself even to the point of death, death on a cross. Jesus was crucified because he didn't meet people's expectations. He wasn't what they thought God should be or do what God would do. He ate and spent time with sinners and tax collectors, those people that the religious leaders of the day wouldn't even give the time of day to. He healed those who were despised and unwanted. He touched people who the religious leaders of his day thought were untouchable. He cared for the poor and the least of these, those who were ignored and dismissed by others, who others thought didn't have any value. Jesus valued them, and he cared for them. He ministered to those on the margins, those who others thought shouldn't even exist. He valued their existence, and he ministered to them. Jesus was crucified and put to death in a gruesome and horrifying way. All of this is what the kingdom of God looks like. Not like what we want it to, not like what we expect it to. It's the opposite of human greatness and power. God's power is drastically different than human power. And so Jesus uses the image of a mustard seed, of the smallest, perhaps most insignificant, perhaps most annoying seed of them all. Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. Because God takes seemingly insignificant seeds and he grows them and he transforms them into large, lush bushes, so large and lush that birds find rest in its shade. And God does this with us too. We are small but mighty because of God. How many times have you thought what you have offered to God as an individual or as a family or as a church that it's just not enough? It's not big enough. It's not good enough. It's not flashy enough. So often we think what we have to offer to God isn't good enough. God takes yarn and hands that knit together prayer shawls to bless people in this congregation who are struggling. God uses that prayer shawl to comfort and bless an individual so that they can be wrapped in the love and prayers of Holly Grove. God takes a clothes basket and baby items to bless single teen moms who might not otherwise get a baby shower or any baby gifts for their newborn children. God takes boxes of macaroni and cheese and ramen noodle and cans of beans and fruit in this blessing box and uses it to feed hungry children and hungry families. God takes our tithes and offerings that we gather and collect up every Sunday. God takes what we offer and blesses it. We can't control what God does with it. All we can do is offer it. What God does with it is up to God. We scatter and sow seeds, no matter how insignificant and scruffy they are. God is the one who grows them. As we are regathering together, as we are sort of figuring out what our life together here at Holly Grove is going to look like at this stage in the pandemic and moving forward, I'm encouraging committees to regather and to get up and running again, because there are so many needs in the world around us. And we are called to look and see where the kingdom of God already is, to see where God is active and present in the world. And we are called to join God in loving and caring for others and in meeting the needs of the world. As your committees are at work looking for all of this and looking to see what God is doing, remember, God doesn't often work in ways that we expect or anticipate. Be open to God doing and being at work in the world in ways that we might not imagine. Because God uses the smallest of seeds, the most insignificant of seeds, the most tiny offerings that we can offer. God uses them to take root in the world and to grow and multiply the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's love and mercy and peace and justice. And so here at Holly Grove, we might be small, but by God's grace and with God's love, we can be mighty. So God, may your kingdom come in ways that we don't expect, in ways beyond our imagining, and may it come through us. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us come before the triune God in prayer. Holy God, you plant the seeds of faith in every nation. Enliven your church so that the good news of your grace may root and grow throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy. Creator, even the trees, shrubs, and flowers delight in your goodness. From the depths of the soil to the highest mountain, bring forth new plants. Restore growth to places suffering drought. Lord, in your mercy. Judge of nations, we pray for our leaders and those in power. Grant them the ability to regard those under their charge with humility, dedicating their lives in service to others. Lord, in your mercy. Divine Comforter, you show compassion to those in need and provide relief to those who call on you. Bless all who suffer, especially people trapped in cycles of poverty and homelessness. Be with those who need healing and those who mourn, especially Gary Hedrick, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Harold and Myra, Michael, Steve, Herbert, Bobby and Jana, Gary and Judy, Bill, Scott, Sherry, and Jimmy, as well as those in the bulletin and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our heart. Lord, in your mercy. Sovereign God, this house of worship belongs to you. We give thanks and pray for our church musician, Judy Black, and for our guest organist today, Dr. Don Armitage. We dedicate to you the joyful noise that comes from this place, the cries of children, the melody of voice and instruments, and the songs from our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal God, we give thanks for our ancestors in the faith who are now at home with you. We look forward to that day when we are reunited in your new creation. Lord, in your mercy.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of peace with those around you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in the meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Now we'll say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Serve the Lord until your heart looks like God's heart.
Thanks be to God.